Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans! It's 10:04 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to a very special edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening as always, and I'm pumped because this is my favorite show of the year. This is my one of my favorite racing weekends of the year. I guess favorite racing weekend where I'm not at a racetrack. I mean, I love U.S. Open weekend at Lancaster Speedway in September. I love Race of Champions weekend at Lake Erie Speedway. I love being at a race for a weekend. Those are some great weekends of racing too, but I guess if there's a racing weekend where I'm just sitting on my couch, or maybe racing day where I'm just sitting on my couch, this and the Daytona 500 are number one and two on my list. But happy Memorial Day weekend and happy race day, everybody, as we're kicking you off, or maybe we're right in the middle of your big race day here on this Memorial Day Sunday, and this is a special edition of WGR's Fast Track as we are knee-deep in the Grand Prix of Monaco, 40 of 78 laps in the books in Monaco right now, with Daniel Ricciardo leading, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Kimi Raikkonen, and Valtteri Bottas. So Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes. That is underway. Again, we are on an hour early, of course, because at 11 o'clock it is live coverage of the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500, the 102nd running of the greatest spectacle in racing. That'll be coming up at 11, courtesy of the IMS Radio Network. Mark James will lead that broadcast. We talked to Mark on the program here a couple of weeks ago. And then at about 5 o'clock this afternoon, we'll throw it over to Doug Rice and our friends at the Performance Racing Network for live flag-to-flag coverage of the longest race on the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series schedule, the Coca-Cola 600 from the Charlotte Motor Speedway. And we love to be kicking off this day-long broadcasting of motorsports here in WGR, and hope to talk to you at 803-0551, 888-552-550. Your thoughts on any of the racing going on today, or any other racing you may have seen at your local track this weekend? Do you do anything fun to celebrate this day? Any traditions, any big parties you'd throw for this day of racing? And just your thoughts on either race. Who are your picks to win either the Indy 500 or the Coke 600? Coming up on today's program, special guest, and it's a NBC Sports combo platter, I guess you could say, as I managed to book two folks from NBC Sports. First off, at a quarter past, we'll talk to Jerry Bunkowski, who is covering the Indianapolis 500 for NBC Sports. We'll talk to Jerry about all things IndyCar, and he's got some good write-ups over on the NBC Sports website, motorsports.nbcsports.com. And then we'll actually go back to Indianapolis, but we won't be talking IndyCar. Well, we may squeeze an IndyCar question to Nate Ryan from NBC Sports, but we'll talk to Nate about NASCAR, of course, as he is a regular lead, doing their lead coverage on lead journalist for their NASCAR coverage over there at NBC Sports. We'll talk to Nate about the Coke 600. We'll talk to Nate about the NASCAR Hall of Fame vote, because he was one of the people that cast a vote for the 2019 class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And what an interesting group that was, with Jeff Gordon, Alan Kulwicki, Davey Allison, Jack Roush, and Roger Penske will be inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame next February. And no surprise, Jeff Gordon going in his first year of eligibility got 96% of the vote. Apparently one or two people did not pick Jeff Gordon, the four-time champion, but he will, as it was a surprise to no one, got in on his first year of eligibility. But still some interesting choices, and some folks that still haven't gotten in that I thought maybe should have got ahead of maybe Alan Kulwicki or Davey Allison. But it's fitting that both of those two gentlemen are going in the same year, since their passings came both so closely together, and both were two of the biggest faces of that era of NASCAR, that mid to late 80s, heading into the early 90s. They were going to be part of that post-Petty era generation, and unfortunately both of their lives cut short in aviation accidents, unfortunately. But what a addition they would have been going throughout the 1990s to have them running with the likes of Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt and Rusty Wallace and the big stars of that era. And they certainly still managed to leave their mark on the sport before they were taken from us too soon. But 803-0551, 888-552-550. We start, though, on the Indianapolis 500, and it just, I follow IndyCar. I try to watch every race, but this race on its own is, I'm just a huge fan of this race. It has become so exciting. I mean, I watched it a lot as a kid, and then the split, of course, happened in the 90s, and I lost a little bit of interest because the star power was gone, and you know, I just couldn't get as excited for the Buddy Laziers and Chad Boats or Billy Boats or you know, the from that era, the IRL era. I just couldn't get into it. And then it's come back to me, and maybe just doing the show has kind of helped that too, since we started on the air in 2007, 2008. But it seems like that since maybe 2010, 2011, this has become one of my favorite races of the year, and it is the greatest spectacle in racing because there is all 33 drivers have a shot. I don't think there's any one driver in the Indianapolis 500 field you can say that they're not going to win, because it seems like anybody can win this race, and so many crazy things happen late in this race. I mean, you look at 2011 when Dan Weldon won his last one before he passed away. J.R. Hildebrand leading, crashing out with two to go, going to victory lane. Alexander Rossi's win 2 years ago on the fuel strategy, coming out of nowhere. You know, this kid that was destined for F1 but wasn't able to land a ride, agrees to grab a ride with Andretti Autosport and Brian Herta, and next thing you know, he's Indy 500 champion, and now he's become one of the sport's biggest stars. It's just, this race has an aura of unpredictability. The pageantry, all the pre-race with Jim Cornelissen now instead of singing Back Home Again in Indiana, just everything about it is amazing. And it's the one sporting event I'd like to get to sometime in my lifetime, I think. It is number one on my list. But just anything can happen in this race. And I went back and looked, and the last time there wasn't a pass for the lead in the Indianapolis 500 within five laps to go was, you got to go back to 2010 when Dario Franchitti, and he took the lead with eight laps to go. And I didn't keep going back to see how far you had to go to find one that didn't come within 10 laps to go. But every year since 2011, we've had at least one, if not two, passes for the lead inside the final five laps. So this one comes right down to the end, right down to the final laps every year. And that's what makes it so exciting, because you don't know who's going to win until maybe the final turn of the last lap. And it lives up to its billing as the greatest spectacle in racing. And all 33 drivers have a shot. There are a few favorites out there, as we look at the starting grid, and there's some great stories on the front row alone. I mean, Ed Carpenter on the pole, the native Indianan, when he won the pole for the race last Sunday, I was watching on ABC and ESPN, and just the crowd went nuts. He is the hometown favorite, and the locals really get behind Ed Carpenter, as the place went nuts when he went to the pole, and it was very loud cheering, and they had the volume, the crowd volume up on the TV broadcast of qualifying, but they were pumped to see Ed win the pole. He's had some good runs there. He is a great story right there to win. Then you've got Simon Pagenaud in the middle of the front row, who hasn't had much success in this race since coming to IndyCar, but of course, you know, he is driving for Penske, so that gives him a really good shot to win. Anything can happen, and he's starting up front. And then Will Power, who I think is my pick to win today. I know Mark Janes talked about him too a couple of weeks ago when we had Mark on the show, but here's a guy, this would be maybe the last thing he needs to cross off his list, off his IndyCar resume. He finally won a championship after finishing second 3 years in a row, and now he's got this just to do, and then he'll be set for life. And Will has had some great runs in this race. He's come up short, came up short to Montoya back in 2015. He has never, ever since joining Penske Racing in 2010, he has never failed to qualify outside of the top nine. So he's always has a fast car when he comes to Indianapolis, and he just needs to have luck on his side today. And I think Will Power is my just favorite pick, maybe not my sentimental favorite, but just if you had to pick a favorite to win, I think that would be tops on my list. Row two, you got Joseph Newgarden, Sebastian Bourdais, who might be my sentimental pick just because I think Seb is a great competitor, a great race car driver. Was fortunate to catch up with him at Watkins Glen last year, but to see him come back after the pelvis injury he suffered during practice and qualifying for last year's race that took him out of the car for so long, I think it would be neat to see him come back and win it today. He's going from the middle of the second row for Dale Coyne. Spencer Pigot, another Ed Carpenter car, is on the outside of that second row. Row three, you've got Danica Patrick and her final race of her career. She continues to say that this will be it. She's hanging up her helmet after today. Whether it's NASCAR, IndyCar, she won't be getting back behind the wheel of anything. And so this will be her final race. And say what you will about Danica, but when it comes to the Indy 500, she is, you know, she's earned some street cred. She's led this race before. She's had some good runs, and she's got a shot. She's got another Ed Carpenter car, so she's just as good as her equipment is just as good as Pigot and Carpenter's. And she'll be in the mix today if she can stay out of trouble, and hopefully that bad luck that always seemed to follow her in NASCAR doesn't follow her over to back to IndyCar today, and she can stay out of trouble. She could definitely have a shot to win the race today. And then she's joined in row three by Elio Castroneves, who, of course, is searching for that fourth win in this event. That would be a great story, obviously, for him to join the Unsers and Foyts of the world as a four-time winner of this race, and another former winner in Scott Dixon, who, of course, had that amazing crash in last year's race when he flipped the car on the back straightaway. Still the most dramatic scene from last year's race. He rolls off from the ninth position. So even in the top nine there's plenty of great stories and people you want to pull for today just in the front three rows. But really, any year, any driver just about when it comes to Indianapolis 500, because anything can happen in this race, and I think that's what makes it so much fun. With that, we're going to go to the AT&T hotline and bring in our first of two guests from NBC Sports today. First up is veteran motorsports journalist and author Jerry Bonkowski. Jerry, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. It's been a while. Great to talk to you once again.
Yeah, good to hear from you too, Dave. How's it going?
Doing fine. Ready to we're right in the middle of this great day of motorsports, and looking forward here to talk to you about the Indianapolis 500. How are you feeling on this race day?
I'll tell you, I think this could be a classic. I really have a good feeling about this race. I mean, you know, we can say this every year, but there's just certain years that stand out in storylines that, you know, we have already seen so far this year heading into today's race. It just tells me that this could be one that is going to be in the record books. So I think that a lot of people are going to come away from this with a lot of good memories, and there's going to be a big surprise, I think, at the end. I think that you're going to see a very big surprise winner in this race. We've seen a couple of surprise winners the last few years with Rossi in 16 and Takuma Sato last year, and I think that trend's going to continue this year.
Who do you think is the biggest on those, if you had to make a list of surprises, what would be the best surprise you would be pulling for today?
Well, I think there's a few. I mean, certainly Elio Castroneves is going for number four. I think that, you know, he's had, this is his ninth try since his last win. You know, this is the ninth try for the number four that would put him in a very elite class with A.J. Foyt, Al Unser, and Rick Mears for having won the 500 four times. So I think that's the number one story. The number two story, the feel-good story, I think, if you want to call that, is Ed Carpenter, the pole sitter. I mean, you know, this is a guy who's from Indianapolis, and I interviewed him earlier this year and did a story yesterday on NBCSports.com, and I was actually surprised. You know, an Indiana driver or somebody from the Indianapolis area has not won the race since 1940.
Wow.
78 years, we've not seen an Indy or Indianapolis area driver win it. So I think that's going to be a very big feel-good story. And, of course, you have Danica Patrick. I mean, her last final race. And, you know, I think she'll do well if she can stay out of trouble. You know, if she's not involved in an accident, there's not any mechanical failure, I think she's looking at probably a top-10 finish. People really understand or realize that in her previous seven times at the 500, she's had, I think, six top 10 finishes. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, she hasn't been in the car for 7 years, you know, being in the NASCAR world, but I think she could surprise a few people with a very strong finish. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see her finish in the top five.
Jerry, you mentioned Ed Carpenter a second ago, and I was going to bring up your piece on him on it over at motorsports.nbcsports.com, and I just couldn't believe, it's just amazing the hometown support Ed gets. I mean, that place went nuts when he won the pole last weekend. If there's a home team, I guess, in today's race, Ed is certainly it.
No question about it. And I think, you know, you're right. I mean, the support down there, I mean, I've been going to Indianapolis for years, and, you know, it's you know, Indianapolis is a major city, but it's also a small town, if you understand where I'm coming from. I mean, people are just so, they're so tight, you know, they're so friendly, they're so close. And, you know, when a local boy makes good, so to speak, they're going to put 100% support behind him. And I think that, you know, you're going to see when the cars roll up, or even before that, when he's introduced before the race today, I think you're going to see a huge round of applause and cheers for him.
You look back at the winners, Jerry, and three out of the last 4 years, this race has actually been won by Andretti Autosport. How do you think that team stacks up today? They've obviously got plenty of talented and former winners in guys like Rossi and Hunter Ray and, of course, Marco. What do you think about the Andretti cars this afternoon?
You know, I think they're going to do well, but I think their streak might be coming to an end. I just think there's so many other good drivers out there and so many other teams that somebody else is going to wind up winning this race. But that's not to say that Andretti can't. I mean, you know, you've got guys like Marco Andretti, who, you know, arguably has had probably his best month of May, probably since he's been going there. You know, this is Team Indy 500. I spoke with him earlier in the week, and, you know, he seems very pumped and primed. And, you know, if an Andretti driver does win, I'm not going to be surprised if it's going to be Marco that wins. But you know, you've got Ryan Hunter Ray, you've got all the other drivers in the fold there. They've got six drivers, I believe, in the race. So they've got the numbers behind them, but the thing is, you know, who's going to be there at after lap 200 and it takes the checkered flag? But I think that you know, I like Marco Andretti, and what a storyline that would be. 49 years, finally an Andretti wins against Area 1 in the 69. So yeah, there's a lot of pulling for the Andretti camp for sure.
You mentioned Marco, and another big IndyCar family, of course, is the Ray Hall family with Bobby and, of course, Graham. And I don't know, I've been kind of disappointed in Graham. He didn't qualify well. He didn't have much speed in qualifying. I thought he was off to a good start this year on the IndyCar season, but for whatever it's worth, it's just, I don't know if they've been just saving it for the race, but it seems like they've struggled here so far in the month of May.
That's exactly it. They have struggled. And, you know, not only him, but also Takuma Sato, the defending winner. Of course, Takuma won it last year with Andretti and moved over to Ray Hall. But I'm not putting a lot of faith in what Ray Hall and Takuma will do this race today. I think that they're just, like you said, they've been struggling for speed all month. You know, I think there was that one day that Graham was right near the top of the speed charts, but you know, that was more because of the toe rather than anything else. So I think that, you know, now they're going to have, you know, 32 cars around you. He's going to have some problems. I mean, this is going to be a very difficult race for guys that are, you know, near the back. I mean, we talked about Andretti. I mean, we've also got Alexander Rossi. He's starting 32nd in the middle of the back row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the heat that's going to be there today, it's going to be in the mid to high, or the low to mid 90s, I should say. It's going to be very difficult for guys that are in the back of the pack to move forward to the front of the race. I mean, this is not going to be like NASCAR's Coca-Cola 600 where you can pace yourself. I mean, if you're in the back starting today's race, you're going to have a hard time moving to the front.
You mentioned the temperature, the lower 90s. I always want to go to this event, but I don't know if I'd want to sit there out all day in those temperatures in that Indiana heat today. That's going to make for a long afternoon, not only for the drivers, but the fans. All the 300,000 fans are going to be there today.
Yeah, I mean, the one good thing, I mean, I looked at the forecast not too long ago this morning, and it does say that there's going to be some cloud cover coming in right around after the start of the race. So from about noon until about 3 o'clock Eastern, there will be some cloud cover. Doesn't mean there's going to be rain or anything like that, but you know, if there is cloud, that should bring the temperatures down a little bit, but still, it's going to be mighty, mighty hot out there.
Last thing, Jerry, of course, always one of the things to watch for the Indy 500 is the rookie class. They always have, you know, their rookie of the year for this event every year, and it's a nice mix of drivers. Of course, Robert Wickens, who's grabbed so many headlines already this year, Zachary Kalman-DeMello, who's filling in for Pietro Fittipaldi, Matthias Leist driving for A.J. Foyt and Kyle Kaiser. What do you think of the rookies this year, especially Wickens? I mean, unfortunately, that Schmidt-Peterson team, they've taken two big hits now in the last couple of weeks here with Hinch missing the race, and then Wickens had a big practice crash, I think, on Monday. But what do you think of this year's rookie class?
Well, I like Wickens. I mean, I think that he is going to be a bona fide star in this series. And, you know, he's got a lot more pressure on him, not just because he's a rookie at Indianapolis, but he's basically carrying the mantle for Schmidt-Peterson today because Hinchcliffe didn't qualify for the race. So I think that Wickens, you know, he could be a surprise guy. I mean, I'm not going to put him down and say that he's not going to have a good race. I think he could very easily be a surprise winner, or if not a winner, certainly in the top three with the podium finish, maybe a top five at the very least. So keep your eye on that car. I think that he's learned to adapt to oval track racing very, very quickly. I mean, this is only his second race on an oval, I believe, at Phoenix earlier this year. And, that's been it. And he's adapted very well. So keep your eye on him, and certainly he'll have Hinchcliffe giving him his full support from the pits as well, too. So it's going to be, like I said earlier, it's going to be a classic race, and whoever wins, I think that there's going to be a lot of people are going to be very happy, whoever it is, that will wind up winning this race.
Jerry, it's got to be exciting times over there at the Peacock, with especially when it comes to IndyCar racing. I mean, you guys taking over next year. NBC will have the Indy 500 next year, and I'm sure there's a lot of exciting things we'll see over at NBCSports.com this week post-race.
Most definitely. We've got a lot of plans that are already in the works this early for next year as well, so I'm very excited and looking forward to being part of all that.
Jerry, like I said, it's been a while. Glad we were able to catch up. Thank you so much for your insight on this busy race morning, and enjoy the racing today.
I will. You too. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
Good, Dave.
All right. Jerry Bonkowski from NBC Sports, motorsports.nbcsports.com, and you can also follow him on Twitter at Jerry Bonkowski, if I could get the words out of my mouth. And he right now, as he said, he's got a piece up about pole sitter Ed Carpenter you can check out right now, and also one of the experts that have placed their picks over at NBCSports.com is, I didn't even ask him on the air, but Jerry is pulling for Elio Castroneves today to get his fourth win in the Indianapolis 500. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We come back, we'll actually go back out to Indianapolis. We'll talk to Nate Ryan from NBC Sports, but we'll do it about NASCAR and the NASCAR Hall of Fame vote as we continue on. They are on lap 55 at Monaco. Ricciardo still leads by about a second over Vettel. Then Hamilton, Raikkonen, and Bottas are your top five still there at Monaco. Ricciardo has led pretty much the whole race so far. Since they went green about 9 a.m. this morning. So we'll continue to monitor that. Maybe we'll get to a finish by the time we go off the air. And again, we'll talk to you when we come back here with more Fast Track on this special Memorial Day weekend edition of Fast Track on WGR.
Hey, this is Ricky Stenhouse Jr., driver the number 17 Fastenal Ford. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
10:30 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan and a special edition of WGR's Fast Track, as we are just a half hour away from pre-race coverage for the Indianapolis 500 with the IMS Radio Network, and green flag is 12:19 this afternoon for the Indianapolis 500 with Ed Carpenter on the pole. That race will get done about 4 o'clock or so, and then 5 o'clock you can get pre-race coverage of the Coke 600 and green flag just after 6 o'clock over at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. It is Kyle Busch on the pole for today's race. Kyle's never won a points-paying race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He's won all-star race, but never won the points-paying race there at Charlotte. Joey Logano to the outside, Denny Hamlin, Eric Jones in row 2. Brad Keselowski won the Xfinity Series race yesterday in row 3 alongside Ryan Newman, Jamie McMurray and Ryan Blaney in row 4. Eric Almirola and Daniel Suarez round out your top 10 starters today. You've got Kyle Larson in 11th. Martin Truex, who of course has dominated this race the last couple of years, he rolls off 15th today. Kurt Busch starts 16th. Matt Kenseth, still driving for Roush Fenway Racing, he starts 17th today. You've got William Byron and Chase Elliott in row 11. Jimmy Johnson starting back in 23rd. Alex Bowman in 27th. And then Kevin Harvick couldn't get through technical inspection before qualifying, so didn't even make a lap. So Kevin starts out back today in the 39th starting position. Again, luckily for Kevin, of course, is that it's the longest race of the year for the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series. So he's got plenty of time to work his way through the field today. And I'm sure he'll be a factor at some point, despite his starting position. Of course, you're with 5 wins already, plus the All-Star race last week. I'm sure at some point, as long as Kevin stays out of trouble, he'll be a factor at some point, despite where he starts in today's race. We're going to talk to Nate Ryan from NBC Sports here in just a couple of minutes about today's race at the Charlotte Motor Speedway and get his thoughts in the NASCAR Hall of Fame vote that took place this week. And as I said off the top, of course, Alan Kowicki, Davey Allison, Jeff Gordon, Jack Roush, and Roger Penske I thought the biggest snub on the Hall of Fame vote was Buddy Baker. I'm surprised Buddy continues to a couple of years now that he has not gotten in. I thought with his accomplishments, the Daytona 500 wins, his broadcasting career, even after his driving career, everything. I thought that might be enough to get him in a little bit sooner, but it's been difficult for Buddy to get in, and he was near the top, but wasn't in the top five in voting at the end. He was near the top, but could not make it in, unfortunately, this year. But that's someone I was a little bit disappointed that didn't make it in. I thought career wise, I mean, obviously Davey and Allen's career cut short, but. And Allen did win a championship before he passed. Davey won the Daytona 500, but never won a championship. I thought maybe Buddy should have gone in maybe before one of them, but I know Allen especially had a lot of buzz surrounding him this year. There was a lot of course, with the, I think we came to the 25th anniversary of his passing this year and everything, and there was a lot of media buzz about him in the last couple of months. There was the podcast, the One Racing podcast, did a really nice video package about him and telling his story, coming up from the Midwest, and of course being a driver owner and being an engineer and everything, just coming from where he was to becoming a NASCAR champion. So there was a lot of support for Allen this year, and that he got in. But I was hoping Buddy would get in this year, but maybe next year. But one of the people that got to decide that joins us now live from Indianapolis from NBC Sports, Nate Ryan. Nate, good morning. It's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of a busy race morning to talk to us. Let's start with the NASCAR Hall of Fame vote. And you were there choosing, and just tell us what it's like being part of that process, first of all.
It's a pretty humbling experience, Dave. It's something I've had the privilege of getting to do each of the last 10 years since the first NASCAR Hall of Fame vote in 2009. And every year it's a fascinating process to be in the voting room where the discussion of the candidates takes place and hear a lot of legends and power brokers within the NASCAR industry, you know, discuss why they're voting, who they're voting for. It's quite the spectacle, and I'm glad to witness it.
Of course, Jeff Gordon was going to be a gimme this year, given he got 96% of the vote. Out of the other four, Jack Ross, Roger Penske, Davey Elsa, Alan Kowicki, which one was kind of the last one in, I guess you could say? Who was the one that maybe came the closest of not getting in this year?
Well, they released voting percentages, Dave, and I believe that Kowicki definitely was the lowest. He was the fifth one in, and I believe he was around 40-45%, and I think that fourth was Allison, I think, with around 60%.
So those guys were right on the bubble. I was talking about Buddy Baker right before we had you on, and I know he finished near the top five. I think he was like seventh or eighth, but just missed out. But that is someone I would have liked to have seen gone in. Now that we've gotten so far into the Hall of Fame, and now they've got a solid group of enshrined individuals, do you think that there might be a chance now to maybe kind of change the amount of drivers that get in, or maybe starting kind of like a category for older the builders of the sport and whatnot? Do you think maybe that we'll see a change a little bit in the voting procedure, or do you think they'll continue to do this five personalities a year going forward?
I think they should change it. In the past, they have said that after year 10, they would reevaluate. Next year will be the 10th class when that class gets inducted, I believe, on February 1st, 2019. That's the 10th class. So NASCAR has a lot on its plate right now. Obviously, there are a lot of other things going on.
Yeah.
But I would hope that that's something they're looking to address, because I think taking five people every year, regardless of voting percentages, is a mistake. I think that they're starting to reach the point where now with 50 people in the NASCAR Hall of Fame, there needs to be a little bit more, I think, discretion used in terms of who gets in. And I would like to see at least the requirement that you need to have half the vote to get in. There have been some years where you've had multiple people with less than 50% of the vote be elected, and I don't think that sets a good precedent. I think that you should have to have at least half the vote to make it.
Nate Ryan from NBC Sports joining us. Nate, I know you're in Indianapolis, but I appreciate you talking to us here about today's race in Charlotte with the Coca-Cola 600. And I don't know, Nate, this race hasn't been super exciting the last couple of years. Give me something to look forward to tonight. What should I be watching for this evening?
Can't put me on the spot, man. There, so I can't even really give you a sense of like.
No, I know.
Oh, Thursday and yesterday went, but and you're right. I won't sugarcoat it. This has not been a race that has been so eventful, unfortunately, the last few years, and I think that was why there was a lot of talk after the All-Star race about trying the package of the arrow and restrictor plates, bringing lower horsepower. There's a lot of talk about trying to use that. Obviously, they're not using that, so you're going to see probably something more like you've seen the last few years. You know, 2015, Martin Truex Jr., I was there that year.
Mm.
Or no, it was 2016. Martin Truex Jr., 2 years ago, led 393 of 400 laps.
Yep.
And there's no way to put a fine point on. I mean, it was not pretty.
Yep.
So I hope that what they have tonight, obviously last year they added stages. This is the only race with four stages on the schedule for 100 lap segments. So I would hope that what they have tonight is a little more compelling, and we'll see if it is.
I know coming out of the All-Star race, there is a lot of swell of support for that package of the All-Star race because it seemed to provide somewhat of a better product on track. And then, you know, they were trying to kind of calm everybody or kind of lower the expectations because they're saying, you know, we can't really roll this out anytime soon because we can't put the cost on the teams. And I understand that. But now you're getting like Roger Penske coming out saying that he would be all for them maybe at some point later this year, bringing that package to a mile and a half track. Where do you think it stands? Is it still 2019 at the earliest that we see something like we saw last week in a points race for the Cup Series?
No, it'll happen this year, Dave.
Oh, it will? Okay.
Pretty sure. Yeah. I mean, it's not official yet. When you have people like Penske out there and drivers out there saying it, I would be stunned if that package isn't used when NASCAR returns to where I'm at right now at the Brickyard
mm-hmm.
for the regular season cutoff race in September on NBC that will determine the playoffs. I'd be stunned if they don't use the package here for that race. And then I think you could also see it used probably at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Because NASCAR is already using a similar package in the Xfinity Series for Michigan and Pocono. I think you could see it in Michigan, and it wouldn't surprise me if you saw it in a mile-and-a-half track like Kentucky.
Well, I would look forward to that, certainly. Nate, of course, the Coke 600 does have somewhat of a history of producing some first-time winners, not a guarantee, but there's some drivers that could really use a first-career win this weekend, one of them being Chase Elliott. What are the chances that the young guns that have been so popularized this year, what are the chances of one of these youngsters maybe getting a first win today? So someone like a Daniel Suarez even, too, seems to be, after a slow start this year, he seems to be picking up some momentum.
Sure. Like if you look at the history, Dave, of the Coca-Cola 600, we talked about this on NASCAR America on NBCSN on our motorsports special Friday. There have been a lot of first-time winners in this race. Matt Kenseth, who, of course, is back at Roush Fenway Racing, back in the Cup Series for this race in the number 6 Ford. He won for the first time in Cup here in Charlotte in 2000. And there have been several first-time winners just like that. You know, David Ruderman in 2009 would be another one. Casey Mears, of course, never won again, but he won the Coca-Cola 600 in 2007. So I think there's an opportunity there where, for whatever reason, maybe it's the length of the race, it seems to lend itself to having first-time winners. So that could be, if you're looking for that hook that you were asking for me earlier, maybe that's it for tonight.
I'd love to see Daniel get his first win. Like I said, he kind of struggled out of the gates this year, but hopefully he could, if there's someone that could do it today, I'd love to see him get his first win. Of course, famously spending his first winter in America here in Western New York. I'd like to see get his first crew win today. Nate, before I let you go, I got to ask you, since you're there about the Indianapolis 500, just who is your favorite to win the race today?
Any of the Penske drivers. I would say it's Penske versus the field, and if one of those four drivers doesn't win, I think it would be a shocker. And they have the best engine combination with Chevrolet and the Dallara.
Mm-hmm.
They put all four of their guys in the Fast Nine. So I think Simon Pagenaud has had an excellent couple of weeks here. Joseph Newgarden, of course, the defending series champion. He's a serious threat to win this race. Will Power has been in the mix for this race before, nearly won it in 2015 when Montoya won. And then, of course, Elio Castroneves is going for his fourth
mm-hmm.
Indy 500 win today with Penske. I think any of those four guys could be the one.
And your current edition of the NBC NASCAR and NBC podcast, you actually talked to James Hinchcliffe. I haven't had a chance to listen yet, but obviously I'm sure he had a lot of interesting things to say since he's not going to be in the race today.
Yeah, I appreciate you plugging that, Dave. Yeah, he's a fabulous personality. I talked to him yesterday morning, and he was in really good spirits despite the circumstances. Yeah, obviously, he said there's no way to put a happy face on what today's going to be like for him. getting bumped out of this race while he's fifth in the point standings. That's severe blow to his championship hopes. But he's just a great personality. Both him and Newgarden are the type of driver personalities and, you know, the charisma there. NASCAR and IndyCar both need more guys like that.
Very good. Nate, again, thank you so much. I know I felt like an idiot when you told me you're going to be in Indianapolis and I asked you to talk about Charlotte. Thank you so much for doing this on Race Morning. Looking forward to your coverage continuing on NBC Sports, especially when the TV moves over to NBC for NASCAR later this year. Thank you so much, and enjoy the race today.
Hey, I appreciate it, David. No problem at all. You can always put me on the spot. I don't mind.
All right, Nate Ryan from NBC Sports, at Nate Ryan, a phenomenal journalist and personality. We love Nate, getting him on the show, especially on a busy race morning like this. We appreciate him taking the time. And yeah, NBC is going to be the place for racing. I mean, they have the NASCAR TV deal next year. IndyCar is every race is on the NBC family networks. They're picking up the IMSA package next year on TV. So NBC and NBCSN is really going all in on motorsports, even more so than before. And that is another interesting point about today with the Indianapolis 500. Today will be, at least for now, the last Indy 500 broadcast on ABC is today. Never say never. They may get the rights again down the line, but next year it's on NBC. And it goes back to 1965 when ABC first started carrying the Indianapolis 500. And the only I know I've had this stat before on the show, but the only sports TV deal that's longer than that is the Masters on CBS, which goes back to like the late 50s, 1950s. So this is a end of a pretty big era. For years, this race being an ABC with all of the great personalities that have worked for them throughout the years, the Jim McKays, Paul Page, Chris Economaki, of course, just the people that worked with them throughout the years, and some of the great memories of watching this race in ABC. I mean, two of my memories of watching this race as a kid was the year Emerson Fittipaldi and Al Unser were racing for the win, and Little Al crashed in MO1. And then coming back in 92, Little Al edging out Scott Goodyear for his first Indy 500 win. I mean, those were huge memories for me watching this race and watching on ABC. And then, of course, later years watching, you know, Weldon's win in 2011 and Rossi just a couple of years ago. So it's a pretty big end of an era when it comes to a motorsports broadcasting today with the, at least for now, final Indy 500 on ABC. Our final segment is up next. We'll close out the program when we get back here on this special edition of Fast Track on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
And we'll start with the Friday night action. Lancaster Dragway finally got their first points race in. Mark Herbel got the TNT Super Series win. Anne-Marie Nugent, brand new race car, and she took it to a win in Top 8 Eliminator. Mark Talmadge and Top ET Ryan Rickettson beat Brother Clay and Mod ET Brian Babiak in Bikes and Sleds. Mason Fix, another win in Street ET. Big race this Saturday night at Lancaster. The International Super Modified Association returns to the half mile here in Western New York for a great show this coming Saturday night. Ranceville Speedway on Friday. Tommy Flanagan edged out Eric Rudolph in a thrilling 40-lap $2,000 to win special for the Modifieds. James Henry finally got the monkey off his back in the Sportsman. Pete Stefanski in the Street Stocks. Matt Hornquist in the Four Bangers. David Fingerlow in the Novice Sportsman. ULMS special at Freedom Raceway on Friday night. That was won by, no surprise here, Max Blair over Mike Maresca and Doug Eck. Brad Rouse and Adam Leslie make it a Canadian 1-2 sweep in the Sportsman. Billy Taylor in the Street Stocks. And Chad Dickinson got the win at the mini stocks. Saturday night, Hollins Hillside Speedway. Neil Dietz getting the win in the Sportsman. Kyle Hutchinson in the TQ Midgets. Ken Maltby, another Street Stock win. Bob Bogner in the Four Cylinders, and Marty Hughes, the Madman, got the figure eight win. Genesee Speedway last night, it was Kyle Murray, the youngster, picking up his second win of the year, all of, I believe, 17 years old. Cadillac Dave Konak got the win in the Sportsman over Tony Moscato and Zeke the Streak, Ray Bliss. Glenn Wirtnauer getting the win in the Street Stocks. Dante Mancuso in the Mini Stocks. Bailey Logsdon in the Bandits. Merrittville Speedway. Last night it was a 30-lap special for the Sportsman. Brett Bigelow got the win. Mike Bowman over Gary Lindberg and Matt Williamson in the 358 Modifieds. Rob Murray in the Hoosier Stocks. Chris Watson in the Mod Lights. John Couture in the six-cylinder stocks. And Anthony Kelly got the win in the mini stocks. If you're looking for some local action tonight, you can go over to the Humberstone Speedway in Port Colborne. They are in action tonight with their usual five-division program. Two laps to go in Monaco. They had a virtual safety car incident with Charles Leclerc and Brendan Hartley got together. The brakes went on Leclerc's car, and he drove right to the back of Hartley. That set up a brief virtual safety car, but they are under green. But Ricciardo has a six-second advantage on Vettel right now. They're on lap 77 to 78, so this will go checkered in just mere moments here. Ricciardo, Vettel, Hamilton, Raikkonen and Bottas, and that's the Raikkonen Bottas right now. That's the best battle on the racetrack, as they are within striking distance of each other. But the top three are kind of set in stone, barring any kind of major incident here in this final lap and a half. But Daniel Ricciardo looks like he will get the win in the Monaco Grand Prix. Enjoy the racing today. Tweet us throughout the day at Fast Track 550, and we'll talk to you about it here next Sunday back at our regularly scheduled time of 11 a.m. as we'll be back kicking off the month of June with you next weekend with our at our regular start time. But as I said before, pulling for Will Power and Sebastian Bourdais are my favorite and sentimental picks for today's Indianapolis 500. And I think Kyle Busch will take care of business today at this evening in Charlotte as well, too. So those are my picks for the two races today. And looking forward to spending 1,100 miles of racing with you race fans there in Western New York. Hope you enjoyed the day. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.